Okay, so today's daf is daf nun aleph. Okay, so I think we're you have it, Herbie?
I gotta get my phone. I took the wrong volume.
Oh, okay. So I got to umay shna, so the third line on daf nun aleph and aleph, where basically there is a brisa, and the brisa says that. There was a brisa which says that zevach is more strict than temura, and the Gemara wants to say that zevach means any zevach, and temura means the specific zevach means zevach refers to a specific, right? We said that. It doesn't say shame zevach, so it's referring to specifically the par kohen, God, the par of Yom Kippur, and temura means in general the category of temura. So the Gemara says in the third line, umayishna. So how is temura different than zevach? So why is zevach referring to a particular zevach, and temura is referring to, in general, all temuros? What's the difference in the halacha? If you remember, we said that a zevach applies with a yachid or with a tzibor. The hekdesh can work for a yachid and tzibor. It overrides Shabbos and Tuma, and you can turn it into a temura. But a temura doesn't apply to a korban tzibor, and it doesn't override Shabbos and Tuma. But then we're saying, why does the Tada speak a specific zevach and speak about temura in general? So the Gemara says, temura, shame temura achasi. The Gemara wants to say that basically all temuros, all situations of temura, is really, they're equal with everything. That they only apply to, that they, none of them apply to a korban tzibor. They do not override Shabbos and Tuma, and you cannot make, and you cannot turn one temura into another temura. And their kedusha devolves upon animals that are mum, that have blemishes, and when they're redeemed, they are forbidden to giza navoda. So in other words, the halacha of temura, it's the same whether it's a temura of this korban or that korban. The laws are the same. However, but zevach, but the Tana could not speak about a rule about zevach, all different types of zevach, and say this applies to all korbanos, because the ika bechor ve'ika meiser. There are bechor and meiser, for example, that even after you redeem bechor and meiser, giza and avoda, shearing the animal doesn't apply and avoda doesn't apply. So therefore, in other words, he wants to say that therefore when the brisa said talks about when the brisa talks about a zevach, it has to refer to a specific zevach because there's no all categories of zevach one halacha applies. But when it comes to temura, so the halachos in the brisa apply to all categories of temura. And then he says ula rav sheshes. Now the rav sheshes said that when it says zevach, it refers to the isle of Aaron. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol brings what? He brings a par, he brings the bull, and that's the bull, the par chatas, and he also brings the isle, a ram for the ola, for a korban ola. So the Gemara asks, "Ula rav sheshes and ademukim la be'elo shel Aaron lukma pesach." The dochas haShabbos is a tuba, the osa tamura the korban yachid. Why don't, according to Rav Sheshes, you want to say it's talking about the aisle, the ram of the Aaron, the ram of that Aaron brings on Yom Kippur? Why don't you say that we're talking about maybe a korban Pesach, that it overrides Shabbos and Tuma, and since it's a korban yachid, it has the potential if you want to exchange the korban Pesach with another korban. So the other korban becomes a temura. It will have the same status as it. So why did Rav Sheshes specifically say that I think that it's, that when it talks about a zevach, it specifically refers to the aisle of on Yom Kippur. Why not to the korban Pesach? So the more answer is kasavar ein shochatim haPesach al hayachid. Rav Sheshes holds like Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember from Maseches Psachim, we saw that we don't. That you, the question that you need to, there's a machlokas whether you can shecht a korban Pesach that is for an individual, right? You're supposed to register a lot of people for a Korban Pesach. You can't only have a Korban Pesach. They're like, I want to have my own Korban Pesach for myself. No, there's halacha. You're supposed to get a group of people. So the question is, how essential is that? Are you allowed to have a Korban Pesach for one individual? Right, so Rav Sheshes holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you cannot have a Korban Pesach for an individual. And therefore, since he holds that the only way you can have a Korban Pesach is with a group, so therefore what? You cannot make the Korban Pesach into a temura, right? Because since the only way a Korban Pesach can be brought is with a group, you can only make a Korban Yachid into a temura. You can't make a Korban of partners into a temura. So therefore, Rav Sheshes could not interpret the Braisa, which has all these halachos about a Zevach, as being the Korban Pesach, because he holds the Korban Pesach as a Korban, at least of Shutfim, and therefore this would not apply. Okay, so the Gemara says, v'nukme b'Pesach Shedi. So why don't you say maybe he's talking about Pesach Shedi? The Pesach Sheni, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda holds, that a Pesach Sheni can be brought by an individual. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, no, mi dachi tuma, Pesach Sheni does not override tuma. And the Braisa talks about a Zevach that can override tuma, and that can be, that if you make it, if you designate another animal, so that the halacha of Temura applies to it. So therefore, according to Rav Sheshes, that cannot apply to a Korban Pesach or to Pesach Sheni. Okay, so now the Gemara, now above, the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir says that the Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid, and Rabbi Yaakov says that the Korban Chagiga is a Korban Tzibur. So now we're going to try to explain their opinions. Omar Lei, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua LeRava. So Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua said to Rava, Vitana, and the Tana who learned the Braisa, that the words of Rabbi Meir, that Pesach is a Korban Yachid. And Rabbi Yaakov, who holds that the Korban Chagiga is a Korban Tzibur. Why should not Pesach the Korban like Korban Yachid? Why should not Chagiga the Korban like Korban Tzibur? Why is the Korban Pesach called the Korban Yachid? And why is the Korban Chagiga called a Korban Tzibur? What defines something as a Korban Yachid, and what defines something as a Korban Tzibur? So if you're gonna say imishum da'asi bichnufya, if you wanna say that maybe the Korban Chagiga is brought it with when all of Klal Yisrael is gathered together, right? You know, my standard understanding of what a Korban Tzibur is what? Where your classic Korban Tzibur is one person brings the Korban for the whole Tzibur. Let's say the morning, the Korban Tamim that we bring every morning. What, that's a Korban Tzibur. Why? The Kohen brings it on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. That's the Korban Tzibur. I want to bring my own Ola. That's the Korban Yachid. So how do you view, let's say, I don't know, Korban Pesach or Korban Chagigah? So here we're saying there's a second definition of Korban Tzibur, not where one person brings for the whole Tzibur, but where the whole Tzibur gathers together. You could actually look at it like, let's say, right? Salvechik famously wrote the difference between when you daven in a minyan versus Chazaras Hashatz. So he says, davening in a minyan is tefillah b'tzibur, and he calls Chazaras Hashatz tefillas ha-tzibur. Right? In other words, when we're davening with a minyan, so each one of us is davening in a tzibur, and then the shliach tzibur davens for everyone, that's tefillas ha-tzibur. So these are two definitions of korban tzibur, in some sense, right? So like korban Pesach is like us davening in a minyan, and let's say the Korban Ola is like Chazaras Hashatz in some respects. In any case, so you want to say that if you're calling the Korban Chagiga a Korban Tzibur because you do it in a group, so Korban Pesach is also done in a group. So why is Korban Pesach called a Korban Yachid? So Ika Pesach Shedi Lasa Bichlufia. Because when you say Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid, because it includes Pesach Shedi, which is not brought in a group. Omalei, if that's, he said back to him, Imkain, if so, if Korban Pesach is, when you say that includes Pesach Shedi, Hey Docha, Shabbos is a Tuma, should that override Shabbos and Tuma? Because Rameir said that Korban Pesach, which is a Korban Yachid, overrides Shabbos and Tuma. And we know that Pesach, so you want to say if we're saying that this refers to, includes Pesach Sheni, we know Pesach Sheni does not override Shabbos and Tuba. So Amar Lei, in Keman de Amar de Tanya, Pesach Sheni Dochel Shabbos. Wait, you want me what?
Please,
hold on a second. Okay. So he says that Pesach Shedi overrides Pesach Shedi overrides Shabbos, but it doesn't override Tuma. And Rabbi Huda Ober Aftoch as a Tuma. So we have an opinion that holds that Pesach Shedi overrides Shabbos and Tuma. So now we're going to try to explain this machlokas. You know, why do you hold that Pesach Shedi is or is not Docha Tuma? So, my Taima, the Tadakaba, what's the reason of Tadakaba says the Pesach Shedi does not override Tuma? Marlach, we've made Tuma de Chiso, Yaseba Tuma. The whole reason why you couldn't bring, think about it, the whole reason why you couldn't bring the Korban Pesach is why? Why are you bringing Pesach Shedi now? Because why couldn't you bring the first Korban? Because you were saying Tuma. So now, what you're not getting anything better by bringing it now in the state of Tuma. Like, what are you gaining here? better not do it at all. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Lach, Amar Krach, Chukas HaPesach, Yasu Oso. No, the Pasuk says, that Pesach Sheni has to model all the halachos in Pesach Rishon. Afilu, Betuba, and even in Tuba, you should bring it. Ah, Torah, Zira, Love, Lassos, Betuba.
What do you mean, in Tuma, you should bring it?
Because in
you can't bring it in Tuma.
No, so he wants to say,
unless everybody.
No, so that's his point. So there is a concept. There is a concept of a Pesach Rishon that you can bring it in Tuma. But wait, I know your point. It says, but the Torah Zira Love Lasa Batara, Lo Zacha Yasada Batuba. So he wants to say like this, that really Pesach Rishon you can bring it in Tuma. However, the Torah said that if you can, it's better to bring it Batara. So, but if you can't, but then better to do it Betuma. In other words, but it's not like you can't bring, we know the concept that there is a concept of bringing Pesach Rishon Betuma, right? If it's Tum Hutra Betzibor. But the way he's formulating it, he says that even though the Torah told the individual to do it Betara, he pushed it up, but if you're not able to, you should do it Betuma. Let me see if there's anything here, and I think there's a big Tosus about this as well. So he says that just like Pesach Rishon does not override Tuma, only when a small one second. He wants to say that's his whole point. He's saying that just like Pesach Rishon is not batel, is not canceled out completely, because if the Rova Tzibor is Tahor, if the majority of the Tzibor is Tahor, it's done betara through the Torah people, and if rov the tzibor tame, it's done betuma. So too, Pesach Sheni is not batel completely. That's the point. But just like Pesach Rishon is not batel completely.
So there's no difference between Pesach Sheni and Rishon when it comes to that.
Well, what he's saying is that there are these halachos, but he's saying that the concept that Pesach Rishon is never batel completely, because if the rov had tzibor is like, in other words, there will be a Pesach Rishon that's brought.
Right.
So he's saying that there will be a Pesach Sheni that's brought. If you're stuck in Pesach Sheni, you will bring Pesach Sheni regardless.
Right, but if I'm not pure Pesach Rishon, I can't bring it, right? But Pesach Sheni, he's saying here.
Right, but it's not batel from the tzibor completely. Again, it's not 100% parallel, but that's yeah.
But if Tuma Hutra Betzibor for
right.
Pesach Rishon.
Right.
Then you wouldn't bring Pesach Sheni.
Correct. Okay, so even better. So good, it's even better. So that's his whole point. I'll read you the language. The language says the following. This is the way Tosa says it. It says, L'das Rabbi Yehuda Yesh Shalom Ben HaPasach, you learn from the Pasuk, Shekishem Shepesach Risho Eino Mitzbatel L'Gabri, that just like Pesach Risho, it is not batel completely. What that means is, because if the majority of the Tzibur is Tahor, it's done with Tahor people. And if the majority of the Tzibur is Tameh, that is done by Tameh people. So too, Pesach Sheni is not batel, canceled completely. And ve'im hanidchim lePesach Sheni tahorim nase betara, ve'im tmeim nase betuma. And if the Pesach Sheni people are tahor, it's done betara. If they're done betame, it's done betuma. So it's parallel.
It is batel. If everybody brought it, if it was brought tuma hitra betzibor for Pesach Rishon, then there would be, there's no need for Pesach Sheni.
I understand, but he's saying like this, that just like the concept of Pesach Rishon, there are people who are obligated to Pesach Rishon. So if there are people who are obligated to Pesach Rishon, so there is never a situation where there will not be a Pesach Rishon. Okay. So too, for people who are obligated in Pesach Sheni, there won't be a situation in which they cannot bring it either. That's the parallel. Not a perfect parallel, but that's the parallel. That's what Tosa understands it. So, okay. So now the Gemara now returns to the question of Rabbi Lazar, okay, whether par of Yom Kippur, you can make it into a tamura. Okay? We saw there was a suffix that, right, because do you view this as a korban yachid or a korban shutfim? Because how does it work? The Kohen Gadol is the one who's the main figure with this par, but he achieves atonement not just for him, but also for his other Kohanim. So is it like the main kapara is for the Kohen Gadol? It's really Korban Yachid. And like these other Kohanim, they go along with the Kohen Gadol, but it's really a Korban Yachid. And if it's a Korban Yachid, then you can make it into a Temura, or that it's effective if you make it into a Temura. Or do we say no, that's fundamentally a Korban Tzibur, because for all the Kohanim get kapara, and therefore you cannot. There's no tamura is not effective. So the Gemara says v'tipukli. Maybe you can solve this doubt from the following pasuk. Asher lo amarachmana. When the Torah says that Aaron brings a par asher lo, that's his. Misha lohu bevi. He has to bring it from his own money, his own property. The Tanya, because the Brisa says asher lo. Mishalahu mevi velo mishal tzibur. So he uses his own funds, not the funds of the tzibur of the community. Yachol lo yavi mishal tzibur. You might think that he can't bring a bull from the tzibur. Shein tzibur miskapri bo, because they don't achieve kapara. Avol yavi mishal echal kohani. Maybe he can bring from the property of the kohani. Maybe he can't bring it from the property of the tzibur, because tzibur can't get kapara. Maybe he can bring, you know, from the par that belongs, that was purchased from money of his fellow kohanim. Sherei Echav Kohanim Iskapi, because his brothers, his Kohen brethren, get Kapara, Talmud Lomar. No, the Pasuk says Asher Lo. That it has to belong to him. Yachal Lo Yavi. Maybe he shouldn't bring it, ideally. U V'im Hevi Kasher, but if he brought it from their funds and it's Kasher, Talmud Lomar, Shuv. It says a third time, Asher Lo. Shana Kasev Alav La'akim. Wants to tell you that not only is it a mitzvah, but it is essential, right? Sometimes when the Torah tells you, a pasuk says the same halacha twice. The first time it means it's a mitzvah, that's what you should do. And the second time it says that is to tell you not only should you do it, but if you don't do it, it's not effective. So that's what he's saying here. Fali tabech, according to your reasoning, echel kodi biblav dekodu begaveh heche bechaper lehu. He said, wait a second, according to your reasoning, that basically the other Kohanim get kapara only because of the Kohen Gadol, and that's why it's a Korban Tzibur. Does that make sense? You mean to say that if they don't really have a kinyan, they don't really own this korban at all, how can they get kapara if they're only like ancillary to the kapara of the Kohen Gadol? Ella, so rather, what must be shiny that even though the Kohen brings the, because normally speaking, you only get kapara if you provide the funds for your korban. So rather, what must you say? That even the Kohen Gadol brings the bull from his own funds. Shiny Bei Gaza de Aaron. The storehouse of Aaron is different. The money from where he brings it is different. Why? The Afgarei Rachmana Gabi Echav HaKohanim. Because the Torah sort of was mafgir that, mafgir it, to say that's hefker with respect to the other kohanim, that they could also have a right in it so they can achieve kapara. So in other words, what he's saying is the following. Kapara can't work if the kohen owns the animal. Kapara only works if you contribute for the korban. So how does that work? If the kohen has to use his own funds, how do the other Kohanim get kapara, get atonement? So it must be that like it's like a gzeiras hakasev. It's like the Torah is telling us that even the Kohen spends his own money on it. So the Torah, in effect, renders it the animal hefker and gives all the other Kohanim a right to the animal. But once you say that, then what? Hachanat hachagabi tamura. So also regarding tamura, shanei begaza. So then you would have to say the same thing. And that what? That basically the Torah was mafkir that you're, you know, part of your property, your animal, and gave the right to the other kohanim. So just like they have the other rights, so they get kapara, so too they get it. They have the right, so therefore it becomes a korban shutfim. It just becomes a korban of shutfim of partners. So then you can't make it in. Therefore, tamura is not effective. Okay, so the mission now, the next mission now begins to explain the order of the walking of the Kohen Gadol when he enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we bring a machlokes when it comes to the mechitza that was in the Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there, the Mishnah says the following: when the Kohen Gadol would enter into the Heichal with the Kaf HaKetoros, so the Machta of the Gecholim, in his hand, so then he would... So the Kohen Gadol would enter into the Heichal with the ladle and the machta.
Rabbi, did something happen? You shut
yes.
your mic. We can't hear you.
Oh. Hold on. Okay. So when the Kohen Gadol would enter into the Heichal with the kaf and the machta, so then he would walk on the west side until he would reach, like he'd go all the way west, until he reached the two parochases that are spread from the north to the south on by the width of the Heichal. And then, and Hamavdilos Bein HaKodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. So I think this was in the second Beis HaMikdash. I have a picture. You have a picture?
No.
Okay. The two parochases?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you would go, right? And so which way would you, so I guess it's west, east. Do you have a picture?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. This is the picture. So there are two parochases, and he would start here and go like this way. There were two. I think they switched at the time. I think the second base of have two parochases.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, this is the second base of Mikdash. In the first base of Mikdash, the kotel was a wall of the thickness of an amah would separate between them. So in any case, so here there were two parochases, and the way they would walk, ubenehem amah. Okay, right. In the between the two parochases, there was a space of an amah. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo hoisa sham ella parochas achas bilvad. He said there was only one parochas, Shedamar, because the pasuk says, "V'hivila haparochas lachem beinakosh ve'kodesh kadoshim." Since by Shruma there's only one parochas, okay, right. So in other words, you would go in on the southern. There was an opening on the southern part, and then you'd walk there, and you go to the northern part. You see, also, this is right here. And you have this picture, right? You walk in this like one here. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shaper Kamar Luhu Rabbi Yossi Rabbanu. This is a great question. It says in the pasuk that there's only one parochas. How can you say there were two different parochas? So Rabbanu Amri Lach, Rabbanu Matani, how do you live a mishkan? What are you commanded in Parsha Truma to do? To build a mishkan. So then so all you need is a border between the Mikdash Shady and the second base of Mikdash. So there was this width, I guess, of an Amma, Keva de Lo, right, so the Mikdash, I think there was an open space where they put the Parochas, but the second base of Mikdash, so there was this, I guess, a width of an Amma, Keva de Lo Have Amma Traxin, that there was, you didn't have the thickness, a wall that was an amah thick to separate between the Kodesh HaKadoshim, uvamikdash rishon hu dahave. So I think what they're saying, that at the time of the first base of Mikdash, they're saying that only in the first base of Mikdash, that they put up the wall, they put up a wall of one thickness of an amah, but in the, I think that there was this wall, and I think the height of the first base of Mikdash was 30 amos. Mm-hmm. So they had this one wall that would go up. I guess it was connected to the top. But in the second base of Mikdash, the height was 40 amos, and so they weren't able to make, I guess the thickness of the wall was, the thickness of a wall was one amma. I think if it was too high, it would fall over. I'm not a building person, but I think if it's too high, it would fall over. So the second base of Mikdash, it was 40 amos high, so there was a concern that the wall would fall over. In the first base of Mikdash, or the Mishkan, it was only 30 amos high. So they're able to make one a thickness of the wall. So now in the second base of Mikdash, they can't make a thick wall. They're making these curtains, or they're making it much thinner, and they have a space of an amma. And so therefore they have these two walls.
So we're talking about the thick wall, you're talking about the space between the two parallel curtains?
Yes, yes. Okay. So that was a thick amma wall at the time of the first base of Mikdash. V'stapka l'hu l'rabbanu b'kedusha seya. They're not sure about the kedusha of this area. Iklifni v'iklachutz. They're not sure whether it had the kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or whether it had the kedusha of the Heichal. So where are you supposed to put the curtain? You're supposed to put the curtain in at one, the outer edge or the inner edge, right? Now, instead of an amma thick, you're going to have a curtain. So where does it go? So they weren't sure. So what do they do? Va'avud shtei parochas. Ah, that's why they made two parochases. One at the edge of the one amma, one at the edge of the other one. So, you know, this is like no man's land. And so you knew that from one area, well, that was the Heichal, that was the Kodesh Kadashim. So that's why they made these two curtains instead of the one thick wall in time of the second base of Mikdash. So basically, the way the Kohen Gadol would walk, so he would, right, he'd walk, right, so there, so how, where would he actually walk here? So Tani Rabbanan, the rabbis teach, when the Kohen Gadol would enter into Kodesh Kadashim Yom Kippur, and therefore you'd have to go from east to west, because, right, you're entering into the Mikdash from the east. So he says, Bein HaMizbeach La Menorah, so he'd walk from the Mizbeach to Menorah. The Mizbeach sort of in the center.
Right,
so he's what? Yeah, you want to show Herbie maybe? So he's
the Mizbeach is not in the picture.
There is, yes, it is.
It's a square.
In the middle. Okay, so he's walking from the Mizbeach. Right?
You're talking about the Mizbeach Azah?
Yes, Mizbeach Azah. So he's walking a little bit to the left of the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, Hayimahalech, right? Then he would walk Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that's about that. Okay, it took me off here.
Shulchan is above that.
Okay, so this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So he'd walk there. And Omer Meir would say, Bein HaShulchan LeMizbeach. He'd say you'd walk from between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. And then The Yesh Omrim, and some would say, so he would say, actually, it seems there's only, I have here, in this picture, there's only sort of one wall here. There's only like one opening.
Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Meir?
According to the second opinion, according to Rabbi Meir. Yeah. You have another picture here. So it seems there's only one, or there's one, there's not. Right? And then, so that's one. And then you have Yesh Omrim, that Bein Shulchan LaKotel. You walk on, really towards the edge of the, right, you'd watch, okay, you want to show them the pictures?
Diagram C.
You got, okay. Diagram C, right. So Man Yishom, who's Yishom? Omer Chista Rav Yossi, it's Rav Yossi Damar, Pischa Batzafon Koi, that the opening of the Parochas is in the northern side by the wall, therefore the Kohen Gadol would walk sort of on the northern side. Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, he would say the opening was on the southern side. Rabbi Meir, come on, sphere lay. So who does he hold like? He got Rabbi Yehuda's sphere lay. Feels like Rabbi Yehuda. So nail for Rabbi Yehuda. Let him walk like Rabbi Yehuda. If it's on the southern side. He got Rabbi Yossi's sphere lay. If he holds like Rabbi Yossi, nail for Rabbi Yossi. So let him go like Rabbi Yossi. So la'ola Rabbi Yossi sphere lay. So really, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, but what? But he says, V'amar lach, and Rabbi Meir would say to him, to say, the reason that you go from between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach and not up against the wall is because besides the Shulchanos that Moshe made, so they would make another 10 Shulchanos Okay, so he'd make another 10 shulchanos, and then Right? And then the Shulchanos, Tzafon V'Darom, Munachim. And these Shulchanos were placed the north and the south, of the width of the Heichal. In other words, the length of the one row of the five Shulchanos was 10 Amos, and the length of the Heichal from the north to the south is 20 Amos. So meaning the width of 10 Amos in the north and the width of 10 Amos in the south. And therefore, you can't even put part of a table, basically, from the... I think hopefully you have another picture. You can't even put another... you basically, on the northern side, they're basically just tables the whole way there. So then you're stuck.
The wall.
Right. Yeah. So you can't get through. So therefore... So then the shulchan is right up against the wall. So you can't go between the shulchan and the wall. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to go between the mizbeach and the shulchan, but end up on the northern side to get into the with the opening of the parochas was on the northern side. But you couldn't go between the shulchan and the wall because there are all these other tables that went up right against the wall. So that's right. And that's how you had to walk like that. The ibois ema, and if you wish, I'll say. So la'ola mizrach umarav munachim. Some say they weren't. It was the tables weren't north, didn't go north to south, so within a butt against the wall, but they went east and west. But nevertheless, mishum shchina lav orach ara, because of the shchina that's in the Kodesh Kodashim, it's not derech eretz lemeal lehedya to enter into the Kodesh Kodashim so openly. When you walk, if you walk straight towards the opening, you're like, you can see into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Right.
So that's not appropriate to do that either. Okay?